Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to see who you really are. As we continue to move through this series, may we be led by the Spirit to know and to realize that there is no one like you. May your I am statements then be so firmly fixed in our lives that when we hunger and thirst, may it be for you. Lord, reveal to us again in a renewed way why you say, I am the bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, okay, by now you know that for the next few weeks we're going to be touching on these I am statements. I kind of talked about that in general last week. And these statements are found especially in the Gospel of John. The reason for this is so that we might remember and refresh ourselves again in this season of life on the sufficiency of Jesus. And I think we need that. Today we hear this from John 6. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven, gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." You know, we really wouldn't know that much about each other if every once in a while we didn't start out a sentence by saying, "I am." See, it's only in the fact that we're willing to reveal something about myself, or I'm willing to reveal something about myself in such a way that you and I get to know each other at all. That you get to know me and I get to know you. And of course, the reverse is true, as I just said. So before we get too settled in here for the message, I thought it might be interesting for all of us to turn to somebody next to you, and I know it's a whole different ballgame these days. Okay, if you're at home, you probably can do this quite easily, but share at least one I am statement about yourself today, okay? These are just snapshot statements, okay? You're not supposed to go, "I am going to tell you a novel," okay? So go ahead and do that now. So here's what you might have found out, that somebody is hungry, or somebody is tired, or somebody is excited, or somebody is down, or somebody is looking forward to a new job, these kind of things. That's how it works, right? By saying, "I am such and such," we are revealing something about ourselves, and these statements help us to do just that. In much the same way, that's part of what's happening in the I am statements of Jesus. Jesus here is revealing some things about himself that we would never otherwise know or comprehend. And maybe, as some of you were revealing things about yourself, you perhaps got a little creative in what you were saying. Well, in a similar way, at times the I am sayings of Jesus, he does the exact same thing. He does the exact same thing. See, in these sayings, Jesus connects with prophecy and promise in Scripture. He connects with festivals and faith-defining moments that are fixed in the hearts of his people. He connects with the current situation, and he taps into hunger or darkness or death, and he uses it as a launch pad for a deeper truth about who he is. And in the I am statements, Jesus is even creatively catapulting his people into a future hope. A future reality that by his work will never end. Now, just to prove what I'm saying, Jesus again today says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." So think about that statement for a moment. Some of you may have gotten really creative just a few minutes ago, but I don't think any of you said, "I am a loaf of bread." Yet Jesus in his I am statement is working, these I am statements, is working with creative word pictures in order to describe himself in a way that people can get. He's bringing the heavenly home for us. And so Jesus here in the Gospel of John spends a lot of time, and I mean a lot of time, revealing who he is to people. And what is so refreshing is that you and I get a chance to read these descriptions about Jesus, whether you are a And then whether you are a preschooler or a parent, whether you're retired or just plain tired here lately, whether you're cerebral or sensitive by nature, financially able or on a fixed income, whether you're a teenager in your twilight years, it doesn't matter. People like you and people like me, we are all able to understand these sayings of Jesus. We get these. They're truly meant to be grasped by all of us. Jesus is simply and yet profoundly revealing who he is. Now, with all that said, and before we get specifically to a statement from John 6, there is another side to these I am sayings. Remember, when Jesus speaks the word I am, the words I am, as in I am the good shepherd and I am the vine, you are the branches, I am the resurrection, the life, and so on, he's not just telling you about himself. I mean, these aren't just random fun facts of a revealing nature. But he is also, in a much deeper way, hooking into the supreme and shocking name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. We talked about this last week. Exodus 3, then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So Jesus is saying, I am. That's my name. And I am means God is. He always was, he is now, and will always be. God is eternal. But that also means that God is going to spend the whole of his word finishing that sentence. In other words, God is involved in his people's lives. So, hey Moses, hey Joshua, I am powerful. Just watch me split the Red Sea and knock down the walls of Jericho for you. Isaiah, I am merciful. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Hey John, I am the beginning and the end. Hey David, I am the one who redeems your life from the pit. Mary, I am the place where you can find real peace and security. Hey, dear people of God, I am the one who creates and saves and sanctifies. I am. Now, I'd also guess that if we look closely enough at our lives, God has finished that sentence a time or two for us all as well. I mean, maybe he said to you, I am the one who will see you through this divorce. I am the one who stayed at your bedside. Do you remember this? I am the one who has watched you grow and who protects you. I am he who celebrated at the birth of your baby and at you and your spouse becoming one in marriage. And even more, I am the one who longs to spend eternity with you. See, God has so many attributes, and he reveals them over and over again to his people through his precious word. So one of the most important things to get as we talk about these I am statements is Jesus is saying, I am, I am. I am the God who revealed himself to Moses. I am the beginning. I am the promise forever. I am your present day. I am, I am. As well as, you know, as we talk about all these I am statements, just watch that as he reveals himself in Scripture, as God reveals himself, his focus is consistently, constantly on his people. What do I mean? Well, let's be honest here. When we talk about ourselves, we often focus on ourselves. But you know, the more we look at these I am statements, the more it becomes clear that when Jesus reveals himself, he's more interested in identifying himself with our needs and with our condition and with us. So that when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's talking about how he wants to be something for you. He doesn't just want to give something to you. He wants to be something to you. He wants to be someone to you. I mean, isn't that incredible? God finds real joy in his people. God is defining himself by service and by love and by justice and mercy. He defines himself by others. That's what the I am statements are all about. Jesus is claiming to be Almighty God, and he is, but he's also come to serve and to search out the lost and to provide, right? Light and bread and life to save sinners. Do you get this? Lastly, when Jesus makes these I am statements, he most often connects with an event that validates his statement. So I mentioned this before, when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," do you remember that when he did that the day before, Okay? He fed 5,000 plus people, most likely 5,000 families, right? With just 5 loaves and 2 fish. The people ate until they were full. The disciples gathered 12 baskets full of leftovers, and then the crowd wanted more. So Jesus authenticates the statement that he's making by showing a time when he himself is the bread of life. He does this elsewhere. This is really cool how this happens. John 9, we're going to talk about this just in another week. John 9, he heals the blind man, and then he says, not surprisingly, "I am the light of the world." In John 11, he raises Lazarus. But what does he say to the sister of Lazarus? "Well, I am the resurrection and the life," right? And so what's so great about these statements is Jesus is saying and showing that he has a right to say these things, but even more, he's using miracles to bring people to the message. He's saying, don't just get caught up in the miracle. Okay, feeding of 5,000, wow, that's pretty cool, but get the Messiah who does the miracle. Don't just get wowed by the sign. Worship the Savior. And this is why we need to look at these I am sayings of Jesus again. This is why we go through all this. So, okay. Let's move on to the statement for today, because we've taken a little bit of time to unpack that, right? Okay. Let's talk about I am the bread of life. Now, as I mentioned before, Jesus feeds not just 5,000 families today on this day, but later he even walks on water. Now, that's a big day by anybody's standards. Then the next day he goes to the other side of the Lake of Galilee and ventures for Capernaum for some respite. Now, that doesn't last very long because the crowds make their way around the lake by foot looking for him, because yesterday they had their hunger satisfied. They had their bellies filled with bread. And wouldn't we all love to do that? Because, well, you know, maybe you've been told that you should cut back on bread, right? So here, yes, they get their fill of bread. And much like the ancient Israelites in their journey to the Promised Land, they ate manna from heaven provided by God's hand. These people in John 6 eat their fill. So people numbering in the thousands trek around the sea just to track down the one who can give them more bread, who can satisfy their earthly hunger. Man, he, you know, waved his hands and out of his sleeves came bread. And I want him to do this again. They want to track down the one who can seemingly provide such miraculous provision. And they do this because Jesus has the power to shower upon them all the bread that they want, just like ancient Israel. So they come in droves to Jesus, and as they do this, Jesus says to them, "Listen, you don't need another miracle. You need me." See, miracles aren't what you are looking for. Because miracles never satisfy. They wow you, they captivate you, they confirm some things for you perhaps, but see, what you really need is a Messiah. What you really need is the bread from heaven. You need the bread of life. And packed within that statement are three quick things that I believe can make a difference for you and for me today. See, first, what he's saying is, we need him. We need Jesus. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, you may think you need a miracle right about now. And you may think that you need all these incredible events or things from God to happen in your life right now, but the truth is that by faith you've already received the greatest that God has to offer, the greatest that God has to give, and that gift is Jesus. This is why Jesus says in verse 32, "You may think that it was Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but in actuality it was my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven, gives life to the world." See, Jesus is saying, "I am the bread you really need. I am the bread you really need. Everything you need comes from me." And folks, I can't tell you how many times I've seen this play out itself in my own life and in others' lives. There is some crisis, or there's some tough time, or some desert dryness in my life or others, and I ask God to do something miraculous, right? And then in prayer, God moves me right back to where I ought to be. He moves me back to patience and to grace, to humility and joy. He'll move me to realize that in Jesus, he'll get me through this time. Remember, the greatest miracle that the world has ever seen is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are sinners saved by grace. We are outcasts who are brought in by the Savior. You and I need to find our sufficiency, our strength, our provision in Him. And if you're at all like me, well, that means that we often rely on the wrong I ams. So we rely on I ams that look like this. I am self-sufficient, and I am self-motivated, and I am in the right here. I am able to pull myself out of this alone. I am strong enough. I am good enough. I am smart enough. I am hardworking enough. I am worthy enough. I am owed this. I am an American, and so that means I have rights. I am not happy with just this. And if there's anyone that deserves something more than this, I am that person. And you know, folks, when I do that, and maybe you do that too, Jesus' sufficiency in me withers because it has no root, no sustenance. There's no width or depth. The enemy runs off with my hope. The worries and concerns of life choke him out. The harvest of peace and grace are soon gone. See, it's not bread that we need. More than anything, we need Jesus. Second, Jesus is telling us here to focus on things that last. Focus on things that last. Just notice something here. Jesus says in verse 27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Jesus is saying, I think what he's trying to get at, He's trying to get us to focus ourselves on eternal matters. He's trying to give us a long view. To focus on things of eternal significance, not just on the temporal things of today. It seems that for far too many of us, we spend far too much time on things that don't matter. All the while, the important things get shelved. You know the rule. I think it goes something like this. We usually, generally, spend about 80% of our time on things that don't matter, and only about 20% on things that we should really get to. Well, I know that's true for me. Jesus here seems to be pointing out that we need to pin different values to things in our lives. See, what bread, what sufficiency, what hope, what provision are we focusing on? To bring it closer to home, perhaps it's time that we see the importance of reading a Bible story or a Bible narrative or a Bible event to our child and to model prayer that the offering isn't really a sacrifice, but rather it's a response and a recognition of God's tremendous goodness to us. We keep 90% and, wow, he only gets 10? That ministering to a person in need isn't putting us out as much as it's allowing us to be used so that other people can see Jesus. It's not about notoriety or service hours or community pressure as much as it is about living into the redemption of Christ as our servant Savior did. Maybe it's time that we put down the phone for a minute or two, or the tablet, and actually get into Scripture and simply let the Spirit do His work. Maybe it's time that we don't just stay with our friend circle, or with those of our same age. Maybe it's time to go and meet somebody new and to help somebody else get to know us. Jesus wants us to feast on Him, on His grace, on His love. And when we do, we will revalue what we do and why we do it. If we really receive the bread of life, that nourishment will reignite our love for Him and for people, our witness of justice and our mercy in this messed up world. Finally, third, when we're drawn by Him and stay connected to Him, we'll never grow hungry again. Can you think of what it is in your life that you can't simply get enough of? I mean, what is it that fills your tank or stacks your deck or floats your boat or loads your gun or fills your cup? Is it food? Is it sex? Is it drugs and alcohol? Is it time with your kids? Is it working out? Is it sports? Is it money? I mean, someone once wrote, money can buy you a house, but not a home. It can buy you a bed, but not sleep. A clock, but not time. A book, but not knowledge. A position, but not respect. It can buy blood, but not life. I mean, some of these things are really, really good, but none of them are ultimate things. See, Jesus is saying here in John 6, I want to be your fulfillment. I mean, do you need identity? Well, you're God's precious child, worth Him coming to die for. Do you need purpose? Well, take the cross of grace and peace to somebody. Do you need love? Jesus shed His precious blood for you. What love the Father has lavished on us. Do you need a clean slate? It is yours in Christ. Do you need peace in this time of turbulence? Well, give it beyond your understanding. Don't you see life's greatest needs are met in Christ? There are so many today who walk around with this unfulfilled longing, this lingering sense. Is this it? Is that it? Is it over there? Is it something more? It must be this. But in Christ, Jesus says, don't search anymore. I am who you're looking for. I am the daily sustenance that satisfies. I am the gift of forever that's given for free. And that's why He says, I am the bread of life. In Jesus' name. Amen.